Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 10th day of December, year 2023. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is 'Tis the Season. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the broadcast. Prinhanda, Cumri Ambith. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is altogether with no spaces. We do encourage you to go there. I try to keep it updated. I did have about a week and a half where the website was not working. We finally got that resolved here the other day, praise Yahweh. And so I'm able to get back in there and edit and add things. But we have a home page on the website where you can get information on how to help us out financially. And for the folks that do help us, Yahweh bless your heart. We have a contact us page. If you don't have my personal contact information, you can use that to get me a message and I'll reach out to you as soon as possible. And then we have a listen live page that has the schedule for the broadcast and any special broadcast that might come up. And we also have a daily mail page. The Daily Mail, of course, is where we put links to articles and videos discussing all of the crazy things going on today. But there's also a lot of stuff in there that's encouraging. There's things about health, prepping, homesteading, holistic medicine, education, and, of course, weapons and home defense. All those are pertinent, especially today, for the body of believers that, you know, we represent here. This is like a family gathering, and the word is out there, folks, I can tell you that. More and more people are talking very similar to the way we've been talking here for the past, well, over 24 years. Many of our little colloquialisms and expressions that we've used here as we teach identity amongst our brethren, that is starting to infiltrate into many of the platforms that I listen to. So praise Yahweh. And praise Yahweh for you, the listeners, because it's not just my work getting out there. It is the fact that just like the 12 disciples with Yahshua, we go out and each of us becomes a living Bible, a living testament, a living ambassador for our Savior amongst our brethren. And I got some verses here we're going to read in just a little bit about that sort of thing. And the fact that, you know, the scriptures talk about salvation quite often. And that comes from a Greek word that means to be delivered from physical pain or harm in the here and now. The church world is clear off the track when it talks about the feel-good stuff and the baptized in the Holy Spirit stuff and everything else. They're kind of missing the mark, okay? Yeshua was talking about our existence here now on terra firma, the earth, okay? Not in some mystical place that is beyond or that we don't know about, et cetera, okay? And the church world does that on purpose because obviously, just like the fake pandemic, they knew that the average person, there's no way you could verify whether a virus exists or not. You don't have the equipment. You don't have the millions of dollars it would take. So they can say anything they want about a virus, and they know you're not going to be able to prove it one way or the other. Okay? Well, the same thing with the church world. When they hid all the, quote, esoteric dogma, especially the Catholic Church, which is the worst of the worst, which was, by the way, taken over by the small hat crowd, the Jews, many years ago. So it is a tool of Judaism, of the Jews, Satan's children, as Christ said they were. Okay, so the Catholic Church became their tool. They also invented Mohammedism, so the people of the Middle East and other places that practice that religion, again, religion comes from the etymological background of control. Religion is very, very similar to the word government as far as its roots, okay? Government, of course, is to control your mental processes or your thoughts. That's what government's all about. Government has no power other than to deceive you. Same thing with religion. It is to control or regulate through dogma and doctrine to control you and I. And yet Yahweh himself lives within us. It was interesting. Let me take a little time here for anecdote. Before I read the rest of this, though, I was watching a video about bees. Okay, now this is the beautiful part of our Creator Father. Bees hum their wings, they flap their wings in a frequency, a very precise frequency, which turns out to be the note C. If you ever took piano lessons or anything like that. Got you. You know the chords and the notes, okay? The quarter note of C. Turns out that vibration for C is very healing. Okay, so if somebody has post-traumatic stress disorder and you put them near a beehive, it's a very soothing sound, that frequency of sound. Here's the other thing that's interesting. There's a science, relatively new science, that looks into frequencies of sound and the patterns that they create. Very, very fascinating. Now, isn't it also fascinating that the C note, the frequency of that sound that the bees are generating with their wings, forms a perfect hexagon, six-sided hexagon, which is what every single cell in a beehive is a perfect hexagon. So there's a correlation between the frequency of the wings beating that sound of C and the formation of their hive, which is a perfect hexagon for every cell in the hive. Again, the beauty and majesty of our Creator Father is all around us. If you take the time to stop and just observe the beautiful parts of this world that present him to us. Instead of focusing on the negative energy and all the bad stuff that the wicked are doing, take a time of the day to reflect on the Father and the good things that he gave us here. And there are mountains and mountains of good in this world if you choose to focus on it. So all this bad stuff is just the enemy putting it upon us because they get energy from our depression, anger, fear. Those energize the wicked amongst us. And conversely, when we rejoice with each other, when we rejoice in the truths of our Heavenly Father, that is like putting daggers in their hearts. It's like striking your fingernails down across a chalkboard. They, the wicked, the evil, demonic forces, can't stand us laughing and enjoying one another or showing affection for one another or true brotherly love for one another. That just drives them crazy. So I'm all for that. I like driving my enemy crazy, okay? I want to destroy the enemy like nobody else out there. And the beautiful thing of it is, too, when you read the scriptures, how many times does it talk about our Heavenly Father created things with the sound of his voice? Did you catch that as I was talking about the bees? Many of the things in creation, many of the things done are with sounds. Remember, Nikola Tesla said that we are frequency, energy, and vibration. And it turns out it's very true. The very structures within our body, the way the cells do what they do, it's a miracle. Literally a miracle. Also, all you have to do is study what goes on inside a single cell of your body that has trillions of cells. a single cell, just the activity within that one little tiny cell. If you can't figure out that our Creator put us together in this miraculous way, you're just a retard. I'm sorry, but you are. So for the atheists out there or the agnostics, I really feel really bad for you, because you have to be in a state of denial that's just unbelievable if you can't recognize the beauty of creation by our, well, some scientists call it intelligent design. That's just a euphemism for God the Father. Okay, scientists sometimes, oh, I don't want to sound like a religious person, so I'm going to call it intelligent design. Well, what does that mean? That means that there's a creator, obviously. And the church world, of course, today, the mainstream church world is an abysmal failure. Why? Because there's no truth in it. There's no, how should we say it, genuineness to the mainstream church world, especially at the top of the heap is the Catholic Church. Devoid of it, as far as the hierarchy of the Catholic Church, completely devoid of genuine worship of our Father and genuine, we'll call it Christianity, the teachings of your Yahshua, okay? Not in that organization. Now, that doesn't mean people who call themselves Catholic are all evil, because I know people who are still hanging on to Catholicism for some reason. I'm not sure why. Why would anybody hang on to any denominationalism today is beyond me. They're all bankrupt, every single one of them. And you have to remember, the Protestant denominations are an outcropping from the mother church, which is the Roman Catholic Church. That's where denominationalism came from, okay? So they are the daughters of the great whore, okay? Western Roman Catholicism is an abysmal failure. It is actual Satanism and communism, and I just watched an excellent video put out by SGT Report, Sean, and it was had an expert in there talking about the modern Catholic Church and all of its evil and wicked ways. Richard Buckminster Fuller told us a long time ago, you never change things by fighting the existing reality. You change something by building a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. In other words, instead of fighting this veil of evil that we find ourselves surrounded by, build a new model. Start with the person in the mirror. Become the new model. I had a discussion with one of our sisters recently about that very topic. She's of the opinion that it's her job to evangelize the world. And I've said, no, it's not. No, it's not. You're casting pearls before swine. What you do is be a beacon of light by your words and your actions and your decorum and the day-to-day activities that you do. Do they reflect a righteous Father Creator, or do they reflect the world? And when you walk and talk and do the work of an ambassador of Yahshua, you're going to stand out from the crowd. And those who are meant to be talked to about our Father and presented with what we call the gospel or the good news of him and his work and salvation that he offers us, that is given to those that see you and want to know more. They come to you, in other words. Or as my father put it one time, he said, Dan, instead of trying to fix the world, why don't you just let them come to the mountain? My father was wise in many ways. He never really went to church a whole lot, but many of the wise things he told me as a child stuck, and that was one of them. Let them come to the mountain. You can't fix the world. Many of them don't even want to be fixed. Many of them are narcissists today. We have a pandemic of narcissism, self-centeredness, okay? Self-absorbed individuals that don't care or have empathy for anybody else. That is a true narcissist. They are so absorbed with their own universe. They don't care about anything around them, including supposedly loved ones. They really don't. They just care about themselves. All right. Second Chronicles 7:14, the formula for change. If my people on whom my name is named make themselves low or humble and come to me in prayer, imagine that, talking with the Father, searching for me and turning from their evil ways, then I will give ear from heaven, overlooking their transgressions or sins, and will give life again to their land, give life again to you as well. Okay, so formula for success right there. Make themselves humble, which most of our people have forgotten completely, even what that word means, let alone actually making themselves humble. We got a lot of people that are self-absorbed today, even in identity, believe it or not. And come to me in prayer. Again, prayer being what? The communication with our Father. We've talked about this many times because a lot of the animosity between our brothers and sisters is because of differences of opinion on interpretation. And I've been telling you, why do you do that? Okay? Unless you've got a time machine that can go back 4,000 years or at least 2,000 years, how are you going to prove one way or the other that you've got the right interpretation? All right, so why do we divide the camp? Why do we have discord amongst the brethren, which, by the way, the Proverbs tell us that Yahweh hates? No, he doesn't just dislike it. He hates it. When we have real-time, in-moment communication via the Holy Spirit with our Father and each other, okay? The Spirit testifies to the truth. I call that the warm and fuzzy feeling or the vibration I get with certain individuals. Like when I talk to brothers and sisters on the phone or we meet face to face, I can tell a lot about a person simply by the vibrations that they give off, by their body language, by their looks and expressions on their face, and by the tone of their voice. Again, we're vibration and energy and frequency. Okay? So some people claim that that's not true, but think about it. In your circles of friends and relatives, do you have people that you resonate with and people that you are just abhorred with? I know I do. I find some people so abhorrent I don't want to be around them. And other people, you just have this magnetic draw to each other. Okay? That's all scriptural. That's all biblical. And it's all commonsensical. Henry David Thoreau told us that there are 1,000 hacking at the branches of evil to the one who's striking at the root. Okay, so 1 out of 1,000 people get it. Instead of sitting there arguing and bitching about all the things that are wrong in the world, only one person says, hey, wait a minute, we got a root to this problem. If we want all these branches, these 1,000 branches of evil going on around me, why don't we cut the root? And how do you find the root? Follow the money. All one-liners when I was a boy in church or at home, little one-liners like that were taught every single day. Because that's how you learn. You put little pieces together. Don't try to eat the whole elephant all at once. Eat an elephant one bite at a time. One little truism, one little phrase of truth that sticks. Doesn't do any good to hear truth and then you don't apply it. Isaiah 5:20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. That's our world today from top to bottom, is it not? Who put darkness for light and light for darkness? In other words, exchange truth and wisdom for ignorance. Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. The whole verse is just talking about things being completely upside down. Okay, 180 degrees out from where it should be. Another quote that I love is Sir Walter Scott said, without courage there cannot be truth, and without truth there can be no other virtue. So again, the root of virtue, the root of good things is based on what? Truth. And who is the truth? Yeshua. You know, it made me think about it. Why does the world, the evil, wicked world, hate Yeshua more than anybody else? Because Yeshua taught the truth. He spoke the truth. Now, there's a lot of man-made religions because people sort of fall into that. They like ritualism. They like dressing up in costumes and looking at priests or monks or whatever. They get this sense that that makes it okay when Yeshua just simply said, I'm going to tell you the truth. He walked amongst us plain and simple and spoke what? Truth. Doesn't Scripture say the truth shall set you free? Yeah, it doesn't say anything else. Doesn't say mainstream media. Doesn't say government. Doesn't say having millions of dollars in the bank. Nope, doesn't say that. Okay? So again, 'tis the season. Well, we call this the Christmas season. Christ Mass, that's where that comes from, the Catholic Church. The Christ Mass in December, because the Catholic Church tells you that Yeshua was born in December, which is total bullshit. Yeshua was not born in September, or I mean December, okay? He was born closer to September, that's true, during the Feast of Tabernacles. So he was not born in December. It's a false religion, and Christmas follows after the teachings of the Catholic Church. And yet the whole world at this time gets into the decorating of trees, which Scripture tells us not to do, the giving of presents and going broke buying all these presents, which we're told not to do, and turn it into a pagan ritual every December. Now, are there good things that happen during this season? Yeah, of course there are. As a boy, I remember many of the gatherings and the large dinners that we had with a lot of family around us, and we sang carols, and so there were good things. It was a time of fellowship, and we were under the impression that the church was teaching truth at that time, when we found out many years later that the church itself is full of liars and deceivers. Again, the whole idea is to get people to be controllable. The church world's not much different than the governments and the bankers. It's all about control, and they use the horrors of the media to portray their lies and deceptions in order to manipulate you into either doing or not doing something. Okay? The fact of the matter is we don't need them. We don't need any of them, by the way. Don't need central governments. We don't need government of men. We don't need banks. We don't need their currency. We don't need the medical mafia. We don't need any of it. That's why they create laws trying to keep us trapped in it, because they know that if we break away from the matrix, we're going to find out the truth, and the truth is we don't need any of them. Our Father created us with everything we need within us. And the plants and the animals around us provide all the things that we need to enjoy this existence in this temporary world that we live in. It's temporary. And yes, we're under a firmament. I wanted to go to Ecclesiastes because we're talking about the season in chapter 3. For everything there is a season, and a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted or harvested. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn. A time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to tear, and a time to sow, and a time to speak, and a time for silence. A time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. You know, the world, and there's more here, but I'm stop for a second. The world wants us to think that they're all powerful. Okay, the beast wants to think that who can war with me? Even scripture talks about that. We would walk around saying, who can war with this powerful beast? It's got artificial intelligence and they got drones that they can be controlled by people sitting in bunkers miles and miles away, and they can kill you and track you down. And yeah, the beast has a lot of toys, but guess what? It all requires our acquiescence. And the beast knows that. The beast knows that if mankind rises up their consciousness to the point where we realize that these people are frauds, complete frauds, and we don't need them, we also do not need to go along with their programs. They fear that. That's why the endless propaganda coming across the flat screens, the images of the beast, meaning the images controlled by the beast, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, constant programming, constant propaganda, because they know the average person isn't going to take time to listen to a program like this or fellowship with our brothers and sisters like we have here right now. Okay? The true family of Yahshua gathering in small groups like this. Okay, they know the average person isn't going to do that because they're mesmerized. They are under a hypnotic spell with their flat screens. They can't get away from them. Look at them out there. I've watched people, young women, come by my office window here with their babies in a stroller. Instead of watching their baby and enjoying their babies, they got a phone as they're pushing the cradle or the bassinet down the road. They're looking at their phones. Or youngsters get together over in the common area over here, and instead of talking with one another, each of them has their phone in front of their face doing something on that damnable device. Okay, we've lost our sensibilities. We've lost our empathy for fellow man in the seeking of what? Entertainment. Entertainment. To watch the videos, okay? Again, we were warned in Scripture to beware what enters your eyes and your ears and your mouth. Why? Because they affect the temple. Where's the temple? Right here, this body. This body that Yahweh graciously gave us is your temple. Remember, it said, don't pollute the temple. Because why? His Holy Spirit resides therein. Yahweh is within each and every one of us. That's why we get these feelings we get. That's why we get the premonitions we get. That's why we have the dreams that we have. That's why we get the vibrations when we're around fellow believers and people of like mind. And we are repulsed when we're around the wicked. Or at least you should be. Let me put it that way. You should be. Continuing with Ecclesiastes. What profit has he who works in that in which he labors? I have seen the burden which Yahweh God has given to the sons of men to be afflicted with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in their hearts, yet so that man cannot find out the work that Yahweh God has done from the beginning even to the end. In other words, we're not conscious of it. Okay? Our brains cannot even fathom eternity, infinity. We can't. Can we? Can you? I know I can't. We weren't given that because we're in these temporary dwellings in this world for a purpose. And for that purpose, we don't need to know what's on the other side of the firmament. I don't need to know why time is a element here, but not in the hereafter. I can't even begin to fathom what that's all about. And yet it's true. That's why we can't fathom it, because he doesn't want us thinking about that, dwelling upon that. We should be focused on what we're doing here and now. I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and to do good as long as they live. Amen. The whole work of man, is it not? Also, that every man should eat and drink and enjoy good in all his labor, is the gift of God. Did you get that? Yeah, even though we labor, it's still a gift from the Father. Even though I've labored for over 24 years to get our people to wake up, to get our men to learn how to be men again. That was one of the primary reasons for starting By Yahweh's Design. Men have to learn how to be men again. There's often times that I've been told by brothers and sisters that they consider me a man. That's a great honor, by the way. But it's also sad that it's not being said about a lot of other males. See, there's a difference between a male and a man. We have millions and possibly billions of males, but very few men. If you don't know the difference, you need to reach out to me and we'll have a talk. I'm not going to take the time right here now, because real men don't need to hear it again. But if you're not in the category of a real man, you need to reach out to somebody. You need to reach out to somebody that you admire, respect, etc., and start learning how to be a real man. Because I'm going to tell you something. The ladies are looking for you. Now, I know a lot of ladies today are got their heads up their asses. Yeah, and so do the men. But I'm talking about the real ladies out there, because we have a lot of women, but we don't have a whole lot of ladies. Okay, so there's women out there. They've got the genitalia for it, but they don't have what it takes to be a, quote, woman. Just like there's a lot of men, got the right equipment, don't know the first thing about being a man, as our Heavenly Father intended us to be. Verse 14, I know that whatever Yahweh does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. And Yahweh has done it, that man should fear or revere before him. That's exactly right. Every day your head comes up off that pillow, you should rejoice in the good things that the Father has provided you. Because I'm going to tell you, no matter what circumstance you're in, you can find something good. The Father's doing some good thing in the life of a believer, in the life of his children. That which has been long ago and that which is to be has been long ago. Yahweh seeks again that which is passed away. Forever, folks. Moreover, I saw under the sun in the place of justice that wickedness was there. Uh-oh, wickedness in the place of justice? Take a look around you. And in the place of righteousness, that wickedness was there. Yeah, that's our world today. I said in my heart, Yahweh God will judge the righteous and the wicked. For there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. And I said in my heart, as for the sons of men, Yahweh God tests them. That's what you're here for, folks, the testing. So that they may see that they themselves are like animals. For that which happens to the sons of men happens to animals. Even one thing happens to them. As the one dies, so the other dies. Yes, they have all one breath, and man has no advantage over the animals. As far as the physical body, for all is vanity, all go to one place. Yeah, back to the earth, the dust. All are from the dust, and all turn to the dust again. Who knows the spirit of man, whether it goes upward, and the spirit of the animal, whether it goes downward to the earth. Okay? Again, What separates man from the animal kingdom? We are the temple within, or that the Holy Spirit resides within. Okay, that separates us from the animal kingdom. But as far as the physical, the bones, the flesh, the sinew, et cetera, we share that with the animal kingdom. And it's all corrupting day by day. However, by the way, and Ella here can attest to this, and I'm sure Melissa and some of the others can as well, you don't have to go forward in this life and age the way the rest of the world does. Okay? Yahweh our Father provided the things here for us to maintain this temple in a very strong, healthy, vibrant form until the day we pass over. That was the plan. That's what he intends for us to be. Now, I know a lot of our brothers and sisters out there have sort of let themselves go, but that was not the plan. Remember the word logos in the Greek language, it's often interpreted, the word actually can also be interpreted the plan, because both require, quote, logic or intelligence, logos. And how many times that we talk about the word as if the word is the Bible? No, the word existed prior to the Bible. So obviously the Greek and the Hebrew were not talking about that book you're carrying around calling it a Bible. The word, the spoken word, or the plan was with the Father from the beginning. You're part of his plan. You're not part of some parchment contained within a leather-bound book that the Catholic Church gave you. I'm sorry if that busts your bubble, but that ain't it. Because I know a whole lot of people that know a whole lot about that leather-bound book, and they don't know shit about how to be men and women amongst the brethren. Sad, but true. Second Timothy 4, verse 2. Preach the word, logos, the plan. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience. Oh, my God. Patience? A lot of our people don't have much of that. And teaching. That's our job. When you figure it all out, when you get it right, it's your job then to share that information. 'Tis the season for that, right? Look at the world and the shape it's in. Because the church stopped teaching. The church world, the man-made institutions, the denominational world, never had Yahweh at its center. It's always a group of men trying to control another group of men. And ladies as well, but it's the men that they mostly want to control, because the men are capable of fighting resistance. They form armies. And ladies, no offense, but an army of women is not feared anywhere near as much as an army made up of real men. Okay? That's just the way it is. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And again, soter in the Greek, saved from what? Physical harm in the here and now. Again, what was Yahshua? The truth. What did he walk amongst our people doing? Telling the truth. Even when it wasn't popular. Which is why I gave that quote up in the beginning there, that without courage, there cannot be truth. Yahshua had ultimate courage because he knew he spoke 100% truth. His disciples went forth, and yeah, they were ridiculed, just like you and I are ridiculed when we tell the truth. I got ridiculed when I told people, don't put that damn serum in your body. Oh, what do you know? Fauci's got degrees and credentials, and Deborah Birx has credentials, and NIH is an established institution. Who are you? Oh, yeah. Who are you, Dan? I don't see MD after your name. I don't see PhD after your name. Well, that's true. I've got no credentials, But then again, I do know the scripture where it says, professing themselves wise, they became as fools. Professing themselves wise, they became as fools. There's another verse that goes that he will use the, quote, uneducated or unlearned to confuse or confound the wise. Yeah, I have no credentials, but I confound and confuse people that think they're so damn smart. Why? Because I do just like what Yeshua said. I tell the truth. And I don't care if somebody likes it or not. I said that 24 and a half years ago when this was all being put together. I'm not here to make friends, and I'm not here to tell you anything but the truth as far as I know it. That's it. That's all I promised. I told the Father that, and I told the audience that. That's all. Every guest I ever had come on this program, the only thing I asked him was, don't lie. I'll give anybody time to be on the broadcast with me. Just don't lie. If I catch you lying, you will never be on this program. That's it. Simple as that. John 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now, lays down his life. A lot of people say, oh, I had a guy one time. Now, this was a wise seminary-trained individual that I was working with as an engineer at a power plant. I did ask him, you have a seminary degree and yet you're working as an engineer at a power plant. What's up with that? Anyway, he was telling me, you got it all wrong, Dan. A good Christian should be a martyr. I said, wait a minute. You're saying that a good Christian should die? Well, yeah, you should lay down your life. That's an idiomatic expression, folks. Or am I dealing with rocks out there, okay? Idiomatic expression, lay down your life. I've laid down my life already. Why? Because I could be out enjoying getting drunk or getting high or chasing women or carousing or going to sporting events. Instead, I spend my days every single day of my life learning and teaching and sharing and fellowshipping. I gave up that life. It doesn't mean to give up my temporal body, my temple of the Holy Spirit, that I should let the enemy bleed me out on the ground. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about laying down your life, changing your desires, changing your habits, and putting them in line with what our Father wants. That's laying down your life. Now, at some point, could it cost me my actual, quote, life to do what I'm doing? Oh, yeah, of course. It's possible. But then again, I rely on the scripture that says that my Father, as Psalm 91 says, my Father walks with me. I also like the scripture that says, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. He warns kings and princes. Okay, the very people that the church world, oh, we war against principalities and powers of the air. I war against people that wear leather shoes and wear pants. Some of them wear skirts. That's who I war against. I don't know about these things called principalities and demons and spirits out there. Never met one. I'm not saying others haven't, but I'm just saying I haven't. I've had a pretty good walk with the Father for quite a long time, so I'm kind of curious why I have not been visited by these demons or spirits. But I don't really care one way or the other. I don't fear them. Just saying. The church world and their dogma and the rhetoric that they use is to control you. To make you fearful. Why? Because there's power and money in your fear and your acquiescence. John chapter 8, verse 12. Again, Yeshua spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And a good case in point is the past 4 years. Who are the people walking in the light of life now? The light meaning consciousness or having the ability to discern truth versus lies and deception, which is represented by darkness. Okay, first of all, it's the people that didn't put the poison in their body, isn't it? All right? So Yahweh is the light of the world. Yahweh's Holy Spirit spoke to me on the very first day I saw that piece of shit called Anthony Fauci get up on in front of a TV camera and tell people about what was going on. I knew the day I saw him and heard him, he was a lying piece of shit. A lot of my family thought it was crazy. Well, who are you? This is Anthony Fauci, director of the NIH, blah, 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 blah. I said, I wouldn't buy a used car from that guy, let alone put an untested serum in my body because somebody of that ilk says so? Where are people's brains today? Forget the spiritual side of it. Where the hell are their brains? Untested material. Untested. Did we forget what the word untested means? Did we forget that mandates carry no legal authority whatsoever? So was it we lost our brains or did we lose our balls? I think we lost both. Many people did anyway. Many people lost both. John chapter 5, verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from life to death. Oh, I'm sorry, from death to life. Must be a bit dyslexic this morning. So he has passed from death to life. Again, Yahshua bears the truth and speaks it. Again, the vibration. Speaking the truth. And again, on that topic about translations and this book that the Catholic Church put together called the Bible, I remind folks that Messiah carried nothing in writing with him. Okay? Point out one verse where during his ministry, he carried anything in writing with him. Or even the disciples. Where did they carry anything in writing called scripture with them? All they said was, it is written. Many of us in identity say the same thing. I don't carry a book with me all the time so I can open it up and show somebody because it doesn't make any difference to them anyway. I could show them encyclopedias or encyclopedic dictionaries. I could open up I got volumes over here on my shelf, hundreds of volumes of books. They don't care. They don't care. It's the spoken word from the heart. And yeah, it may be written down. It might be part of what, like in these many hundreds of books, maybe even thousands of books I've got over here. Okay, is it written? That's all I say. It is written. Now, if you want to do the work, I'll point you in the right direction. You can get the book and find it for yourself. But truth is truth. And the Spirit testifies to the truth. When people sat in front of Messiah and listened to him speak, they knew who he was. They knew that he spoke truth. They also knew that his truth sometimes conflicted with the man-made beast governments. John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son, whoa, wait a minute, it says right here, believes in, but now it says, obey the Son, shall not see life. So it's not a matter of just hearing scripture, hearing truths, but do you obey? Remember, Yahshua said, if you love me, obey my commandments. Why were the commandments given to us? To punish us? No, to save us. But the wrath of Yahweh God remains on him, the one who does not obey. Just like the old hymn, trust and obey the Father. Obey his commandments. Just knowing them doesn't do a damn thing for you. Just knowing that the vaccine, what they call vaccine, even though it's not, just knowing that it was evil and bad and terrible, toxic, was not good enough. If you still put it in your body, what good did it know that it was bad and a poison? But if you obeyed yourself, obeyed logic, obeyed reasoning, then you would not put this strange substance. Oh, but Dan, you don't understand. They threatened my job. Really? They told me they'd kick me out of school. Okay. They were going to come to my house and call me bad names. What's your point? What's your point? Just like my cousin called me, and he's got four daughters, and they are all nurses, and each of them was told that they had to get the shot. My cousin said, look, you're adults, and you're obviously being threatened with being fired, and I understand that, and a lot of pressure being put on you, but as your father, I'm going to beg you not to put that in your body. And guess what happened? All four of his daughters quit the nursing profession. All four of them. Now, are they in misery today? Are they regretting that decision? Are they in poverty out there digging through trash cans to find something? No. Each of them went a different way. Two of them went to some other part of the medical field and were fine. Two of them went into totally different directions as far as their professional career, but all four of them went right back to work. Some of them even got pay raises, and they are much happier, believe it or not, much happier in the jobs they have today than they were as nurses, because the nursing profession, which is part of the medical mafia, unfortunately today, I know there's good people out there trapped in it, but it's not what it used to be. Even years ago when my son was in the hospital for emergency surgery and I spent a month living in the hospital with him, I got to meet many of the nurses and a few of the doctors, but there were quite a few, I'd say 50%, half of them, of the nurses that would speak to me privately said that they did not like being a nurse, that it was not what they signed up for. They were being pressured to do things that they thought were wrong. My own daughter, who is a senior nurse and a supervisor at three different campuses of hospitals, has told me the same thing. My cousins, who were nurses, told me the same thing. My sister and her daughter, my niece, are in the medical profession. My sister has passed now, but they were in the medical profession as well and told me very similar things. All right? But you're told to make the medical profession a trusted voice, just like Fauci and the NIH and the news media want you to trust the voice. Oh, do you trust Yahshua's voice or do you trust the media? Do you trust the medical mafia? Do you trust the entertainment world? Do you trust the celebrities, the athletes? Which voice do you trust? There's only one voice I trust. Again, salvation, life, health goes to those who, what? Hear and obey. Hear and obey. Again, what's our job to be? Living ambassadors, testaments to the truth. And those that seek the truth will seek you out. Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am Yahweh God. I will be exalted amongst the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And yes, he is being exalted in circles right now, because the world has done its damnedest to tell you God is dead, or that you're a creation of happenstance, or that we're on a spinning marble in this sea of emptiness and a vacuum. Let me tell you something. Did you ever do an experiment? I'm going to go on a little sidetrack here for a second. But in school, I remember we had a vacuum pump. And in my professional job, we had vacuum pumps. Do you ever run a vacuum pump, by the way? Okay. Now, perfect vacuum will pull 14.7 pounds, which I can't remember now. It's like 31 or 32 inches of mercury. Okay. But 14.7 pounds is atmospheric pressure. So when you pull a perfect vacuum, that pressure sucks everything into the vacuum, if it can do it, because there's pressure on it. Just like a straw, when you pull a vacuum on a straw by sucking in, the 14.7 pounds of atmospheric pressure pushes down on the fluid and puts it into the vacuum of the straw. That's a little daily thing that everybody should understand. That's the power of vacuum. Vacuum is the absence of pressure. Now, we're being told that this ball that we're on is in a sea of vacuum around it, and yet everything's on the earth, especially the water. And yet, in a perfect vacuum, there'd be nothing here. It'd be sucked into the vacuum. Again, if you just stop and think for a minute, just stop and think about what they've been telling us for years and years and years. That is complete and utter nonsense. But it makes perfect sense if you are demonic, evil, satanic people who want to convince the sheep that they don't have a God. There is no entity looking out for them. There is no truth except what we, the demons, tell you. The demons in shoe leather, by the way. We'll tell you what's real. Don't listen to Dan. Don't listen to those identity people. Don't listen to those flat earthers. No, they don't know what the hell they're talking about. It's ridiculous. It's ludicrous. Blah, blah, blah. Really? Really? But you're going to believe these guys, the ones that have lied to you about virtually everything in your entire life. Okay? Holistic medicine works. Modern medicine doesn't. Hey, I had an Oriental lady that was giving me acupuncture one time. This was probably almost 20 years ago. And she had gone to medical school here in the States, got her diploma. She had it hanging on the wall. She was an MD doctor, but here she was performing acupuncture on me. She'd walked away from the medical profession. And so she could speak English with a heavy accent, but she could speak it. So I told her while she was putting the little pins into my knee, why did you go through all that expense and time and trouble to become an MD and then walk away from it? She goes, oh, that was easy. Modern medicine does not work. Oriental ancient medicine, that works. So she told me she left the United States, went back to China, and spent 3 years there learning to be a holistic acupuncturist. 3 years. And probably a hell of a lot less money. Very interesting when I talk to people like that. See, if you're paying attention, there's witnesses and evidence of all the things we're talking about here. It's all around you, but do you pay attention? Are you seeking the truth? Do you want confirmation of the truth? Or do you want to go the way of the world because you want to fit in? You want to hobnob with your neighbors and your friends? You want to share the drinking and the drugs and the other nonsensical things that they do? Which is it? Which do you want? It's not like it's hard. People say, oh, it's too hard to do, Dan. I don't have time to read all that stuff. Well, do you want the truth or not? Yeah, you might actually have to read something or sit down and watch a educational video and turn off that goddamn damn television set, because it is God damned. Yahweh damned. Regular TV programming is an abomination. Plain and simple. Okay? We've been saying it for 24 plus years. Turn that electronic toilet off. Now, if you're using it as an extension of your computer, or you're watching, if there is such a thing, a decent movie, and there are a few, or an educational DVD, well, that's different. You're just using it as a monitor. But I'm talking about if you're using it to watch Jew-controlled mainstream propaganda, that's evil. And the other beautiful thing that's happening in this season, if you will, as we're approaching the end of the age, is there is a great awakening happening right now. I know we've talked about it in the past because there were little signs of an awakening, but it was not a great awakening. This is the first time that I'm seeing signs of a huge, great awakening. Now, will it be the majority of people? Probably never will be, because Scripture even says that the road that leads to salvation is small, narrow. But it will be significant. Remember, Gideon and Leonidas with his 300 Greek, or not Greek, well, they were Greek. The oh my gosh, I can't think of what they were called back then. Starts with an S. For some reason, just jumping out of my head. Spartans. Same thing. Small number, but they were committed. And remember, Gideon, when he was told to go after the enemies of the Israelites, he had an army of 33,000, and he told the cowards and the timid all to leave, and he was down to 10,000. So he went from 33,000 down to 10,000 instantly. So about two-thirds of those that were going to go to war were actually cowards. They were just going along to get along. So Gideon said, wow, you've knocked my force down by two-thirds, and I'm still supposed to beat the enemy? Well, Gideon, I got news for you, pal, but you still have too many men. What? Yeah, have them go down by the creek, and the ones that throw their weapons to the side and put their face down in the water like a dog, he says, send them home. The ones that keep their shields and their swords at hand and bring the water up to their face so that their eyes are still on the horizon looking for the enemy, they're the smart ones. They're the kind that you want to take into battle. So he went from 10,000 down to 300. 300 that were brave and wise, courageous, and true warriors. 300 out of 33,000. So again, does Yahweh need an army of 33,000 to defeat the enemy, or does he need 300 dedicated warriors, real men and real women, who love him and love the truth more than anything on this earth? And I do mean anything on this earth. And that includes children. Oh, well, Dan, we're supposed to love our children. Yeah, to a degree we are. But not more than him. Not more than the truth. And we can look up the scriptures to back that up if you want. Now, do I love my children? Sure. Does that give them a pass if they become wicked, evil, and turn against Yahweh? Absolutely not. I still love them as my child, but do I tolerate their misbehaving and their turning from the Father? No. No. Truth of it is, they're possibly lost, and I have to live with that. I'm not responsible, especially after the age of 20, because that is the age of accountability. So once they've reached that point, they are on their own. Okay? So it is the season. I know the world is calling it Christmas, and The Catholic Church, of course, supports that, and it's a time to fellowship, even if you know that Christmas is not his actual birthday. If you use it as a time to teach the truth and to fellowship with brethren and people you love, that there's nothing wrong with that. Okay, I don't get trees, I don't give out gifts, I don't do any of that stuff. And I haven't done it for a long time. But I'm going to tell you something else. You know, it's interesting. Back before I knew the identity message and all, I would get involved in all that. But that was very stressful. You know, it's kind of interesting that the suicide rate goes up dramatically during Thanksgiving and Christmas. Wonder why that is. Do you think it's because people see the hypocrisy behind it? Do you think it's the pressure put on people to get gifts when they don't even have the money for it? Or trying to figure out what people want and be happy with when most people are ungrateful anyway? At least that's been my experience, especially children, very ungrateful. Okay? Something I can't tolerate, bad attitudes, being ungrateful, not showing appreciation. Nope. No time for that. So I don't participate, and my stress level is in a really good place by not getting cards. I don't buy any cards anymore. I don't get birthday presents or birthday cards. None of that. I don't do any of that stuff. And yeah, okay. Just sometimes people say, well, it sounds kind of cruel, Dan, don't you care? No, I love my children. I love my relatives. I love my friends. But honoring their birthday, that's not my job. Buying gifts for everybody, not my job. Now, when my son needed tires for his car and he didn't have money to buy them, I bought him a set of tires. I considered that appropriate. If he had the money, I'd tell him to go get them himself, but he didn't. And he was riding around on bald tires. My dad taught me a long time ago, tires and brakes, son, on a car. You never, ever compromise for brakes and tires. Your life depends on it. So again, when my close friends and relatives need something, forget whether it's a birthday or a holiday. That's different. I'll jump in there like anybody else. I'll give the shirt off my back. But to comply with a Jewish created holiday or a Jewish reason to go out and spend money, no. I don't partake. That's my decision. I'm not saying everybody else has to do it. I'm just saying for me. And it works for me. I enjoy giving, just like the scripture says. It is more blessed to give than to receive. I enjoy giving. What? Truth, time, energy, and sometimes money to help anyone in need. That's the heart of a real man and a real woman. Or as Dr. Judy used to tell me, identity, Israelites, are loving, caring, sharing people. That's the identity. That's what marks us different than the world. Truly loving, caring, and sharing people. More blessed to give and to help others than to receive. But so many of our people have lost all of that. They've traded in for this modern idea of what it means to just seek more toys and more trinkets and baubles, a bigger house, a newer car, as if that's what the world's all about. And yet the things that really matter in this world are totally free. Totally free. Don't cost a dime. And yet our people have walked away from it. It's amazing, really, to witness it, to have lived through this period of time. But there is a new age coming, folks. It's right around the corner. We're not far from it. And people need to make that decision on which side of the fence are you going to find yourself. As Yeshua said, you are either with me or against me. And don't listen to what that POS, that piece of dog meat, George Bush said. How dare he take the words of Messiah and use them for his twisted propaganda? The only one that had a right to say that was Yeshua himself. You're either with me or you're against me. Yahweh in a flesh body. You're either with Yahweh or you're against Yahweh. There is no middle ground. There is no fence to sit on anymore. Yahweh's taken it away. Which side will you come down on? That's the question people need to be asking themselves. Which side do I want to be on? Because it's going to cost you dearly being on the wrong side very soon. Right now, with the Jews controlling everything, especially the money, the world money supply, remember the book of Revelation says that's going to go poof, gone here pretty soon. And you can see the signs of it starting to fall apart. But where will mankind choose to go? To another Jewish-controlled central banking system? Or will the world finally realize we don't need these damnable, devil-worshipping assholes? We don't need them. We don't need their banks. We don't need their currency. All we need to do is become men and women in Yahweh's name and live at peace with one another and have commerce as we see fit. We can use anything for money. All through history, people have used anything. They've used salt. They've used seashells. England at one point used tally sticks. Tally sticks. Look it up. Okay, so do we need gold, silver? No, we don't actually need those either. We don't need anything created by central banks or controlled by central banks. And economies and government should be all local. Local, not statewide, not national. Because they're all corruptible and they don't hold any allegiance to you and I, only at the local level. Just things to ponder about as we're in this season. Things to meditate on, if you will. Which way are you going to go? Which side of the fence? And do you tell the truth and stand by the truth? Or do you acquiesce and go the way of the world? Is a job worth losing your soul over? Are toys worth losing your soul, your salvation over? Are friends and relatives worth losing it? Some people will say, yeah. Unfortunately. I pray none of them are here with us today and listening to the recording, but some people will. Some people walked away from Yeshua. Remember the rich guy? He couldn't do it. But for those that do make the right choice, hallelujah, and welcome to the family. But Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the technology that allows us to reach out to our brothers and sisters. When it's used for good purposes, it can do good things. And we pray that these words would go to the ears that are meant to hear it. We pray that you would be with us and guide us in all that we say and do to thy kingdom and for thy mercies upon this earth. And for your glory, because that's the only reason we're here. You are our creator. You gave us life. Man cannot duplicate that. He will never duplicate that. He'll have artificial things that he'll call it, but it is artificial, man-made, not genuine. You are the genuine thing, Father Yahweh, and your judgment is about to be poured out on this world. And we, your sons and daughters, we look forward to that judgment because it is necessary. It is necessary to cleanse this world. So again, help us as we go forward. In Yahweh's precious name, we do ask and pray. Hallelujah.